Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The percentage of children and parents with health care coverage has increased to an all-time high in North Carolina in recent years. That's according to the 2017 Children's Health Report Card issued by NC Child and the Institute of Medicine. But those gains are now at risk in the current health care debate in Washington. Here to talk about it and to discuss the report's other findings about children is Layla Bell with NC Child. Well, Layla, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time as always.
Good morning, Chris.
Let's talk about the Children's Health Report Card for 2017, NC Child and the Institute of Medicine. A lot of data points to talk about, but I guess we could start with insurance, which has been in the news quite a bit. How are children in North Carolina doing?
Well, that's the big finding from this year's report. 96% of all children in North Carolina currently have health insurance coverage, and that's actually a record high for our state. So we've made significant progress over time, and we wanted to understand and explore what was behind that great gain in children's health insurance coverage. So we took a closer look at the data and discovered that about 53% of all kids in North Carolina have health insurance coverage thanks to our public health insurance programs like Medicaid and CHIP.
Also, the number of low-income kids who don't have coverage went down correspondingly.
That's right. So we're now at about 6% of our children below 200% of poverty are uninsured. What's significant about that is those are children who should be covered. They are income eligible for a public health insurance program. So we're celebrating this tremendous progress over time, but we're also acknowledging that we still have more work to do to ensure children have access to the health insurance coverage that really does support their best health.
It's interesting, and we've talked about this before. A lot of people used to just talk about how children are doing, but obviously children live in families, so we need to know how their parents are doing. And in terms of health care, the number of parents without care or coverage has actually also declined.
That's right. And we're still hovering about one in five parents who are currently uninsured. Here's what we know about parental health insurance coverage. The research is very clear on this subject. When parents are insured, their children are more likely to be insured. They're more likely to have access to health care and to take their children to see a doctor when they get ill. And they're also better equipped to help provide support that enables children to learn health-promoting behaviors, which means they're learning good health habits that really support their best health.
Well, we have to, I think, acknowledge the elephant in the room. As we're talking about this, the folks in Washington are talking about dramatically changing health care coverage. Most studies and the Congressional Budget Office, a lot of those parents will be losing their health care if this plan passes.
And potentially children, and we're concerned. So the American Health Care Act would enact changes to both the Affordable Care Act and to our nation's Medicaid program, which has been serving children and families for more than five decades. What we know at this point is the Congressional Budget Office estimates that about 14 million people will lose their coverage next year if the American Health Care Act is actually enacted and implemented. And we also have additional concerns about some of the ways that this potential law could change eligibility and enrollment for children. For example, one of the provisions in the American Health Care Act would actually limit eligibility for children ages 6 to 18 between 100 and 133% of the federal poverty line. So these are kids that just gain access through the Affordable Care Act who could potentially, if states don't move them into their children's health insurance program, lose their eligibility and coverage.
I know this sounds like a silly question to somebody who does this for a living, but why is it so important that these children are covered? I mean, what tangible difference does this make for them?
I mean, it makes a significant difference in children's lives. We have good research and evidence that shows that children who are enrolled in Medicaid have better health outcomes. They're more likely to be immunized, which means that they're not suffering from preventable illnesses. They're more likely to have a medical home and to see a doctor when they need it. And we just know that health insurance coverage supports children's outcomes in every aspect of their lives. So if you think about a child who is ill, they're more likely to be home from school, which means that they're missing that critical learning time inside their classroom. We also know as children age and transition into the workforce that healthier adults are more productive adults. So this has tremendous implications, not only for child health in North Carolina, but really for all of us in terms of the significant impact that it could have on our state's economic prosperity.
There's a lot of talk now about going to a block grant program, which is sort of was out of the bill. Now it looks like it might be coming back in, which also then limits the amount of money states have to insure children and their parents.
Right. Any way you slice it, the American Health Care Act is a cut for states, and it really does limit our policymakers' ability to manage and maintain their budgets. So the block grant provision that you just mentioned, governors can potentially decide to take the block grant over a spending cap. What we know from other programs that have been block granted in the future is that it significantly cuts that budget and states are left holding the bag. And so if we have these kinds of changes, we anticipate that there will be changes in enrollment and eligibility. But we also know what that means is that it'll affect the quality of coverage that children can potentially receive as states are forced to make really difficult decisions about providing care for children with special health care needs, for example, who are very costly to cover. And they may limit the types of coverages that could be available to those kids.
You mentioned the Children's Health Care Plan, or people call it CHIP. That is one of the success stories in North Carolina.
It really is, and it was a bipartisan piece of legislation. We saw, again, that the CHIP is one of those two great pillars that really work together with the Affordable Care Act to really complement children's health insurance coverage in the private market. As I mentioned earlier, without those public health insurance programs, 53% of our kids wouldn't have access to the coverage that they do today.
I want to ask you about a couple other interesting, and this is chock full of data. I recommend people reading the whole report, but we've had a struggle for a long time in funding school nurses in North Carolina, which is related to health care. Looks like we made a little progress, but we're still well above how many kids we have for every nurse.
That's right. We are way above the recommended average in our state, and we know that our policymakers are currently engaged in a conversation at the North Carolina General Assembly about potentially funding an additional 50 school nurses. So when we look at the data, we see that that's a drop in the bucket, but it's an important move in the right direction. We know that school nurses really are on the front line of children's health. They are often the first healthcare professional that children can see. Another reason why we know that school nurses are important is because they also are in this kind of neutral support system for children. And often when children are experiencing other health issues, like mental health issues, they can be an important resource. So as we're dealing with a state where 1 in 10 of our high school children have attempted suicide, it's important that we're increasing the kind of bench that we have available to kids to be able to intervene and really support them when they need it.
You mentioned the suicide statistic. That was one of the more shocking numbers to me in this report. I guess I had no idea that mental health issues are such an issue for teens and children.
It is, and it's incredibly tragic and unfortunate. We saw an increase in the percent of our high school students who have attempted suicide in the previous year. This is an issue that we require state attention. We're seeing the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force take this issue head on. One of the recommendations, as we discussed, was the school increasing the number of school health nurses available. But it also relates to children's access to care and the coverage that they're able to receive, the mental health support they're able to receive in their communities. And there's obviously much more work that needs to be done in that area.
Another area that's on the sheet that causes some concern among folks is even though it's slight, there seems to be a change in infant mortality rates now. We're creeping back up. We've made a lot of progress. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so more than two decades ago, North Carolina had the second highest infant mortality rate in the country. And we have done a tremendous effort, made tremendous progress in that area over time. In fact, we've cut it by about half. But what you said is exactly right. Over the past 3 years, we've essentially seen that progress stalled. We're no longer improving our state's infant mortality rate. And we should be concerned about this. This is the rate of babies that we're losing before their first birthday. Right now, it is 7.3 for every 1,000 babies born alive. The lowest recorded rate in North Carolina is 7 infant deaths for every 1,000 born alive. This is also an area where we see significant disparities, and they're incredibly troubling disparities. So our Black or African American babies are twice as likely to die before their first birthday than non-Hispanic white infants. And the last time I looked at the disaggregated data very closely last year, we saw that our infant mortality disparity between Black and white babies is about where it was in the late 80s. So we've done very little in terms of closing the gap between our kids in terms of the racial and ethnic disparities, although we have made long-term progress, which is now stalled.
One issue that has gotten a lot of attention in the General Assembly is foster care and the foster care program. It's always interesting that we have more kids in foster care than we did a few years ago. How would you assess how we're doing in terms of taking care of these kids?
Well, we have about 15,000 children in foster care. It's actually more than 15,000 children in foster care now. And when I say that to folks who work with children in the foster care system or in the child abuse and neglect system, their eyes get really big. That is a tremendous number. It's a significant number. When we look at the other data, we see that about two-thirds of those kids are being placed into permanency, which is like a stable home for them within 2 years, which is much lower than we would like to see for kids. But the other data point that's also interesting in the report is to see that about 4% of children in foster care who exit foster care return within a year. So those are kids who get out and get placed into a home, and something happens, and they're put back into the system. What we know is that there are significant reforms that are needed in North Carolina. We are hearing murmurings that perhaps the General Assembly will address this issue in some kind of a significant way. And foster care can be a particular and significant risk factor for children's lives. So this is an issue that's very important for the state.
Well, there's so much great data in here. Again, as I would recommend folks look at the whole report. We really appreciate you explaining it to us. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Up next, a program to house refugees on college campuses. Stay tuned.